It's good to see everyone here tonight. I hope that what I have to say will be beneficial for you and that it will help you to live a better Christian life. Tonight I'd like to begin a four-part series on the exhortation found in Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. This passage shows us the requirements of for each of the four parts of people, the older men, the older women, the young women, and the younger men. Let's read that passage. Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 8 says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior, as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you." Because I'm using the same order as the passage uses, we're going to begin with the older men. I want everyone, wherever you fit yourself into the groups of people, to try to learn from all of the studies, not just the ones that are particularly directed to your group of people. As a younger man, I expect to be an older man someday, so I need to also know the requirements for older men. Women, young and old, can also be benefited by this exhortation because many of these commandments apply to all people. Each individual plays a vital role in the lives of all the other individuals. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32, shows us that older men play an extremely vital role in the lives of others. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32 says, "Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God, I am the Lord." We are commanded to respect older men and respect them for their wisdom. In order to teach others in a good way, the older men must have the qualities discussed in Titus chapter 2, 1 through 8. So what are these qualities, and why are they so important? The first quality commanded in Titus chapter 2 is being sober. We usually think of sober meaning not drunk, but in this instance, it means serious, mature, and careful. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 shows us that the devil is out to get us, so we have to be careful. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." The devil is out to get all of us, and he wants to make all of us stop serving God. Older men, as the example for many other people, you must be sober. If you, as the older, wiser people who are looked up to, aren't careful and mature, the next generation will be reckless and will throw away their souls and fall into complete immorality. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 18 shows us that the times are evil, so we must again be sober. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 18 says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Barry gave a lesson the other day about revelings and banquetings, and discussed some of the evils of the world. This immorality pulls not only many worldly people deeper into sin, but it also pulls a horrifying amount of Christians away from the church. Sobriety isn't only necessary for older men. In order to stay away from immorality, we all have to be sober. Luke chapter 12, verses 45 through 46, shows us that we have to be on our guard and make sure that we don't doubt that Jesus is coming back soon. Luke chapter 12, verses 45 through 46 says, "But and if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers." This parable is talking about Jesus coming back someday. Our Master is coming at an unexpected time. Many, like this servant, fall into immorality and are not prepared when Jesus, and will not be prepared when Jesus comes back. I don't feel absolutely ready for that day, but imagine where I'd be if my parents and other valuable brothers and sisters in Christ hadn't taught me, encouraged me, and rebuked me when I needed it. We all have to have someone wiser than we are in order to keep us on track. The second quality in Titus chapter 2 is being grave. Grave means meriting serious consideration, upright, honest. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4 shows us that you have to raise children with a grave mindset. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4 says, "One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity." As fathers and grandfathers, the older men have to be grave. Children look up to parents so much. It's very sad to see them growing up with parents who aren't pushing them in the right direction, aren't influencing them in a good way. Mothers and fathers have to be grave in order to influence their children to be the same way. Carefulness and upright behavior are vital for raising children to be godly men and women and strong Christians. Job chapter 1, verse 1 shows us that Job was a perfect and upright man. Job chapter 1, verse 1 says, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil." This shows us that Job was upright, and if we read on through that chapter, we can see that he lost his children, his livestock, and pretty much all of his wealth. In the end, his friends and even his wife forsook him. So if you didn't know this story, and that is all you heard, you would probably expect that Job left God, but he didn't. Because of his carefulness to do what was right, he could get through all of those temptations. Hard times will come for all of us, but with this grave attitude, we can persevere. The third virtue discussed in Titus chapter 2 is temperance. Temperate means marked by moderation, keeping or held within limits, not extreme or excessive. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32 shows us that we have to keep our anger under control. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32 says, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city." Hold yourself in subjection, and never let yourself stray from the word of God. If you allow anger or any other ungodly trait to take over your lives, you will be unable to help others nor influence them in a godly way. James chapter 1, verse 26 shows us that we must also bridle our tongue. James chapter 1, verse 26 says, "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain." Everyone has trouble with their tongue. But speech is another aspect in which temperance is necessary. There are times when we just need to keep our mouths shut, and there are other times when a problem needs to be confronted or someone needs verbal encouragement. Older men are especially respected for their wisdom, but if they don't control their tongues and know when to speak and when not to, then they won't seem very wise to those who are needing wisdom. The final aspect discussed in Titus chapter 2 is being sound. Sound means exhibiting or based on thorough knowledge and experience. Solid, firm, or stable. It tells us to be sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17 shows us that faith is extremely important. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." It says, above all, taking the shield of faith. The shield of faith is the most necessary piece of spiritual battle equipment. Without this shield of faith, we would have no way to protect ourselves against the devil's fiery darts, the trials and temptations that he throws at us. Titus chapter 1 and verse 6 shows us the requirements for an elder, and it shows that men must raise faithful children. Titus chapter 1 and verse 6 says, "If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly." This verse shows the requirements of an elder, but most of these requirements apply to all men. If a man is married and has children, God requires him and his wife to raise faithful children. How can parents teach their children something that they don't follow themselves? If parents will follow this, the commandment that they find in the Bible to have faith, to be sound in their faith, then they will be able to teach their children to be sound in faith also. Titus chapter 1, verses 13 through 14, shows us that faith will keep us on track. Titus chapter 1, verses 13 through 14 says, "This witness is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth." If we are sound in faith, denominations, other religions, and these fables will not take us off our goal. If we have faith, then we can stop these things and stay on the path of righteousness. Titus chapter 2 commands us to be sound in charity, which is a synonym of love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 13, beats into our heads how important charity is. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 13 says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. Charity, or love, another trait that older men are commanded to have, is the greatest virtue of all. If we have charity, then the other traits that God has commanded us to have will just fall in place. Gain charity, and you will truly have a great treasure. Colossians chapter 3, verse 14, shows us that charity is not only extremely important, it is also near perfection. Colossians chapter 3, verse 14 says, "And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness." Charity is the most important characteristic of all, and it leads to perfection. If we obtain this charitable attitude, all the other godly traits will come more naturally for us. Strive for charity in your life with all your might. The final virtue is being sound in patience. Patience means constancy, enduring, patient continuance. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12 shows us that faith and patience will get us to the goal. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 12 says that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Romans chapter 2 and verse 7 is a verse that has a similar message. Romans chapter 2, verse 7 says, "To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life." We have to endure to the end. If we are sound in faith and in patience, we will obtain eternal life. We watch so many who seem strong enough, but then as we watch them in the church, we find out that they don't have the strength and endurance to make it to the goal. The Bible clearly tells us that heaven will be worth our effort. Male and female, young and old, we all need to strive for the goal with all the patience and endurance that we have. Heaven is the only thing that will be worth that much effort. Only those who strive to have the characteristics that we've discussed will be acceptable to God. Although these commandments are given for older men, they can be applied to almost anyone. Try to be more sober, grave, temperate, and sound in faith, in charity, and in patience throughout the rest of your life so that you can be pleasing to God and reach the ultimate goal. If you've never obeyed the gospel and you would like to be baptized in order to begin your life as a Christian in God's fold, we would love to assist you with that. Or if you feel like you've forsaken these worthy characteristics and would like the prayers of the church to get you back on track, please come forward and have a seat on the front pew while we stand and while we sing.